checking in on Ananobi. James with 10 to shoot. The fadeaway for the tie. Yes! LeBron James knocks it down. 105-105.
It is Sportsfeld story time. We are looking back to 2018. The series so bad, it totally broke the Toronto Raptors, but from that grew a championship team. But at this point, after this series, it feels like a total low. But we go into this. It is the 2018 Eastern Conference playoffs, Raptors against Cavaliers, the Eastern semis to be specific. Game one, Raptors-Cavs. And I will say a lot of history coming into this. The Cavs, of course, had knocked the Raptors out of the playoffs the previous two seasons, especially the year before. LeBron was like on another level in terms of disrespect, really casually dismissing this team. I remember famously the game we did a few months ago was that he comes out and he's like, oh, what a great Toronto crowd. This is great fans. This is what it's all about. The next season, he is taking beers from courtside. He is spinning the ball in Serge Ibaka's face. It went from, I really respect this Toronto's team to like, I'm going to completely demoralize every single person who likes the Toronto Raptors.
And like, he did it. Like the term LeBronto was a very real thing. And, you know, all the greats have this, but like LeBron knew how to get you right where it hurts.
I believe this was the 2 points is not 2 points conversation.
I think you're correct. Yeah.
2 points is 2 points, but is there any more joy from making a turnaround jump shot, making a layup?
2 points ain't 2 points. That's a lot. 2 points is not 2 points.
There was a point he was just bludgeoning this team with fadeaway jumpers in the post. And it was like, it was almost like a joke that he was shooting so many fadeaway jumpers. This series also has things like him working on the runner to the left that ends up winning game three.
It's some pressure here.
And now the big thing is make sure you do not foul anybody here on the dribble.
It's going to be James. Sure,
here it is. See, it's under it's 3 seconds. Under three.
Throws up the floater. Oh, good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
But none of that would matter if the Raptors could just win game one. And game one, May 1st, 2018, it is important to note game one and a hypothetical game seven would be in Toronto because the Toronto Raptors, as we had mentioned earlier in this series, the number one team in the Eastern Conference, 59-23, especially good at home. Basically, it was a fortress at home, the Toronto Raptors. They were basically the best, one of the best teams in all of the NBA. They were by far, as I said, the best team in the East. And boy, it looked like this was their chance to really stake their claim against this Cavs team.
Yeah, I mean, we talked this last couple weeks. This was not only were the Raptors the one seed, the bench mob, everything, the Cavs were kind of falling apart all year. This was the year that they experimented with Isaiah Thomas before LeBron James basically engineered his exit from the club. There's no Kyrie Irving there anymore. Kevin Love, a shell of his former self. And this was sort of, you know, LeBron in this game we're talking about that goes overtime. LeBron plays 47 minutes of the game, all of them necessary. And it was all signs, everything about both teams' trajectories, how they were built, the constant seeming drama of the Cavs season. They were the four seed this year. Really just like could not have been scripted any better for it to be the Raptors' year and to triumph over LeBron. However, maybe it was written in the cards that LeBron was going to be the greatest player on the planet and do what he was always sort of expected to do, which was just quite literally changed the entire course of a franchise by just being LeBron.
The Raptors, for more background on I said before, Raptors were 34-7 at home this year, 112 points for, 101 points against per game. So basically they were 34-7 and outscored opponents by 10 points on average and won every home game in the previous series against the Wizards. So plenty of thought that, hey, this team at home has what it takes. The Raptors start Lowry, DeRozan, OG Anunoby, Valanciunas, and Ibaka. The Cavs coming back with George Hill, Kyle Korver, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, and of course, LeBron James, basically playing the four as Kevin Love is your ersatz sort of center.
Use of ersatz.
Thank you very much. And here's the thing is that we watched these highlights together. The Raptors, the entire game, you're like, Raptors are up, comfortably in control. They take the first quarter, they win 33-19. They are outscored by 11 in the second quarter. But, you know, every time the Cavs get it close, every time they manage to tie it, which they do right before the half, they tie it. Or they're down one with 30 seconds to go. It's 58-57 after Raptors led the whole first half. DeMar gets a two right before the buzzer. 60-57 at halftime. The Raps continue to pour it on. They go on a run to start the third quarter, which is that classic Raptors third quarter run. They end up 10. They're up 72-61, 74-63. All things are firing. Everybody who needs to score is scoring. None of the guys who are, you know, the narrative about them is that they are not good playoff players are playing all that poorly. Kyle and DeMar both shoot 50%. DeMar has 22. Kyle has 18 and 10. Jonas, as we mentioned, Kevin Love playing center on the other team, 21-21, including 8 offensive rebounds. A lot of things in here, a recipe, you would think, for a Raptors win.
And like, even just the way this one starts, the Raptors lead the first quarter 33-19.
Crazy.
After one. I remember watching this one at a bar, and it was just like, obviously 2019 tops this in terms of like crowd involvement, but like the ACC was up for this one. It's like, it's one of those great sports moments that happens every now and then, happened a lot with the Jays, where like you don't always know if everyone else is as plugged into the narratives as someone like you and I are.
Sure.
But you could, and like Raptors fans are always good for this, but you could tell that like the building was dialed in and like they knew this was everything we just said to lead up to this. Everyone in the building knew. And the Raptors come out hot, and then LeBron.
It is almost impossible to overstate how, if you watch back this game, every Cavs point, it's like it has to go through LeBron at some point, whether he starts the action or he wills somebody to an assist or he just takes it on his own and makes it all happen. It is almost 100% Bron. And the Raptors, we talked about their depth, the ability to go 10 deep, the 11 deep if they had to, was going to be sort of an ace in the hole for them. They do have 10 guys play at least 15 minutes in this game, really everybody contributing, and that ability to stretch. And remember the bench mob famously in this time, those third quarter runs, Kyle plus bench would be what would pull them away in games in the third quarter. And that was why they ended up a one seed. And the Raptors do sort of do that. They end the third quarter up 87-82 and only up 5 thanks to the Tristan Thompson shot with 30 seconds left. They were up 7 with a minute left in the third quarter, and they continue to extend that coming into the fourth.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers, the second and third quarters, LeBron with his team down by 14 going to the second, LeBron plays all 12 minutes of the second quarter, putting up 5 assists and 4 rebounds to go along with 4 points, a plus 11. The Cavs not coincidentally win the quarter by 11. And this was like the first test of the bench mob. You have Pascal plays 7 minutes. CJ Miles plays 7 minutes. Fred VanVleet plays 9 minutes. Every single member of the Raptors, starters and bench mob, all 10 in the second quarter, end the quarter as a negative. You have 7 points from Fred, 6 points from CJ, 4 points from DeMar, and only 2 from Lowry and Valanciunas. Third quarter, you know, LeBron only plays 927, so things stabilize a bit. The Raptors have a good quarter. Jonas has 13-5 in the third quarter alone. 13 of the Raptors, 27 points in the third quarter. Jonas on 67% shooting. Lowry shoots 2 of 3 for 5. And more importantly, they hold LeBron to 8 points, but only 2 rebounds and 2 assists. Kyle Korver goes off for 10 points. That Tristan Thompson shot you mentioned, it's only his 4th point of the quarter. And even though it was close, it still seemed like things were going the Raptors' way a little bit.
That basically, right, you're exactly right in that sort of sounds as close as you can get to what the Raptors' plan and best case scenario for how this game would go would be. And they continue it coming into the fourth, a DeLon Wright three with 10.5 minutes to go. Raptors are up 92-82, wraps up 10 in the fourth quarter. They would continue to push it. They're up 8 with 8:43 to go. They continue to sort of get to 8-10, but not being able to pull it away. Every time they do, a LeBron assist, a Kevin Love three, J.R. Smith hitting threes, the Cavs just hanging around and continuing to find ways to get back into the game.
And really the story of the fourth quarter is both Cavs locking in on defense and the Raptors just not making shots. LeBron again plays every minute of the fourth quarter, but he shoots 3 of 11 in the fourth for only 7 points. I mean, it's not a high scoring quarter by any means, but then you have DeMar goes 1 of 3. Kyle is 0 for 2. Jonas is 1 of 7 after his monster third. And also remember, this was the years of screaming for Jonas to play the fourth. And then he did. He plays 8 minutes of the fourth quarter after having a great game, but then goes 1 of 7. Ibaka is 1 of 2. CJ Miles, 0 for 4. Poeltl, 0 for 2. Fred VanVleet, 0 for 2. And it was just the shooting just... I don't know if it was the nerves or the just trying to get over that hump, but it just doesn't happen. And then maybe the play that single-handed, if one play exemplifies the pre-2019 Toronto Raptors, it might be what happens at the end of the fourth quarter.
Toronto continues. It's in the backcourt. Trigger in for Lowry. 2 seconds. 1 second. Lowry, the pull-up. Off the mark. Love has got the board for Cleveland with 42 seconds to go. A 2-point lead for Toronto. James backing in on Ananobi. James with 10 to shoot. The fadeaway for the tie. Yes! LeBron James knocks it down. 105-105. 24 seconds to go.
30 seconds left. LeBron makes an 11-footer. Too good in the post to make it 105-105. Raptors get a full timeout with 18 seconds left. Van Vliet comes into the game for OG. Miles comes into the game for Serge. And boy, it's a tough, even years later, knowing what happens, it's a tough rewatch. DeMar to the elbow, drives, loses it, kicks it out. Fred, wide open three. That clangs out. Rebound, put back, no by DeMar. Rebound, put back, no by CJ. Rebound by Jonas.
Raptors and Cavaliers tied at 105. DeRozan drives in, gives it up. Van Vliet back in, a three. No good. DeRozan in and out. 3 seconds. Tipping Valanciunas. That won't go. There's a lid on the rim.
I don't know how Jonas Valanciunas, all of his height, all of his unstoppability, doesn't simply tap that ball into the net. The official scoring calls it 5 missed shots by the Raptors in 4 seconds. Van Vliet 3, DeRozan 2, Miles 2, Miles 2 again, and Valanciunas misses 2-point layup from inside 2 feet.
I remember being at the bar watching this and just like crumpling down into our table at this one, because it was just like 9 times out of 10, Valanciunas taps that in.
Or DeMar puts it back, or
something. If you haven't watched this highlight in a while, which I haven't, it's truly unbelievable how clear Jonas's tap-in is that doesn't go.
And listen, it's similar to many things in somebody who's watched enough basketball. You just knew the Raptors weren't going to win this game once it went to OT. It was just,
yeah.
There was no question. LeBron doesn't even score in overtime.
Overtime is actually closer than I remember. Like, I know it's a one-point game.
It feels
game,
like a lost cause, but it ends up being a one-point game.
And I remember, I was, like I said, last week, a couple weeks ago, I was at the overtime game in game one against Washington when the Raptors got swept. And that overtime never felt close. The overtime against the Heat in 2016, when Lowry hit the half-court shot to send it to overtime, never felt close. This one, Fred VanVleet again gets a wide open three to win it. It does not go. It's only he played 16 seconds and got a wide open look that doesn't go at the end of the game. And I we'll get into this more next week, but it is safe to say that this game ended the DeMar DeRozan, Dwayne Casey era in Toronto.
Couldn't agree more. Unbelievable that they don't win this game. Absolute heartbreak. And if this was the moment that you decided to quit on the Toronto Raptors, I would not have blamed you, because it certainly felt like there was just nothing that could be done. The Raptors more or less played basically a perfect game for them. They get all the way down. They do everything they can. They defend well. They hold Cleveland to 105 points. They get two, as you said, two wide open looks from a good 3-point shooter to win the game both times. They also get four offensive rebounds at the end of the buzzer. It seemed like if this wasn't going to be the game they won, it would never happen. And suffice to say, the rest of the series follows that.
You know, this series, put my Stephon hat on, the series had everything. It had the Raptors showing what the 2018 Raptors were all about, even though it fell short. It has a LeBron, no one else on the planet can, a couple LeBron, no one else on the planet can do this moments, but one specifically. It also has sort of the rise and fall of DeMar as a Raptor, and it has the beginning of the rise of OG Anunoby as a Raptor. So at the time, this series sucked, but in retrospect, it's a pretty fascinating moment in the franchise.
Absolutely correct. And we will get into the fallout, where it comes next, and what beautiful tree grows out of this seed next week on Sports Felt Storytime.